Well, how did you do with the test about any kings that you know? You know of any? Kings. Other than when you play chess. Who? King Kong. Okay. Nat King Cole. There you go. Any other king? How about Elvis? Yes, the king of rock.
LeBron.
Who?
LeBron James.
LeBron James. Okay, the king. Who? Okay, Burger King. Yes, we know about those kings, don't we? Michael Jackson, who's known as the king of pop. Trying to think. Okay, how about some real queens and kings? You know of anybody? Martin Luther King, okay. That's in his name. That's okay, that's fine. We're just throwing out ideas of who are kings.
King Edward.
King Edward, okay. King George. King Olaf of Norway. There's King Gustav of Sweden. Queen Elizabeth, obviously. Cleopatra, yes. The Queen of the Nile. Anybody else? King Tut. Okay. Yeah, yes. Okay. Queen, what's her name? Margarita?
Margarita,
okay, of Denmark, yes. Those Scandinavians all had royalty, right? But they're all symbolic now. They're not truly people who rule their lands. They're there as figureheads. They're not like Henry. Yes, exactly. Yes, off with their heads or whatever, and those wonderful times. But they are not supreme rulers, okay? There are some individuals who would be equivalent to a king. They would be dictators and individuals that usually are unsavory characters that we would rather not be a part of their kingdom, I don't think. So when we talk today about Christ the King Sunday, it's kind of hard because it's a foreign thought. It's not something that's really a part of our vocabulary and the way in which we think. So how do we deal with this? And what is Christ the King Sunday anyway? Well, it's a Sunday that marks the last Sunday of the church year. And being such, it's the cornerstone of our liturgical year. It becomes the transitional point. So what we have here today is the ability to look to the past and of all that we've learned in the last year or throughout our lifetime about who Jesus is. And then we can look then to the future as we prepare for Advent and Christmas and the seasons that come after that. And we can look to Jesus of the future, the Jesus that we're still waiting to return, the Jesus that will claim the entire world, the universe, as his reign, as his territory. Now, we don't really talk about Jesus being a king of a particular area. He's not king of Israel. He's not the king of the United States, but we say that we are a part of his kingdom. And as such, that means that we are his subjects. But it's a different way because the kings and queens, then there were some very benevolent kings and queens in our history, but there were also some tyrants, some people that you would prefer not to run into. Caesars were similar to kings as well. This king that we talk about today is one who is benevolent. One who gives of himself. We know his story. We've heard it so many times. But I think sometimes because we hear it so often that we just it doesn't hold meaning to us unless we really strive to think about what it is that Jesus did each and every day, that we don't take advantage of the fact that when we wake up in the morning that we are truly blessed by God in spite of everything else that goes on around us, that we understand that God continues to be a part of our life. When we hear the passage from Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is talking to the people of Israel who are beginning to return from their exile in Babylon and all around the known world, they're coming back home and they're finding their lands are ruined. There's no temple. All their shops in the villages are destroyed. Their homes are gone. And when they come back, there is a promise. And there's also a warning. The warning is to those who take advantage of those that have little, who only take for themselves and begin to just become fat and you know, lazy as because they're so used to just taking whatever the first things. It's kind of like when you the only thing I can come to an equivalent of that I can think of is that when you have a litter of kittens or of puppies, there's always usually one that's considered the runt, right? And if you're not intentional, the rest of the litter will just crowd them out when they're feeding. So you kind of make space and so that the little one can get in there and have something. I mean, thankfully, we don't do that as families. I would hope not. You know, you have 10 kids and you decide, well, the littlest one, well, you can fend for yourself. The rest of you, here you go. But that's what God does. God makes way for those who are less advantaged. God makes way for those who need help. And he says that justice will prevail. God's justice is something different than the justice that we are used to. Because we really, you know, at times we feel angry towards the rest of the world because of the way in which people treat each other. We get angry about things that happen in the news and we feel that, you know, things, God's going to judge them for that. And I believe that God will. But I also believe that God is a benevolent judge. And just as Jesus says that he will separate the sheep from the goats, I would assume that you all want to be the sheep, right? You want to be on his right-hand side, not on the left. But you know what? Who of us continually thinks 24 hours a day of what it is that we should be doing and we act on it each and every moment? Who of us can live perfectly as Christians? Nobody I know. Now, you might be insulted by that, but I'm including myself in there too. So we're kind of a sheep-goat mixture. And the reality is that as much as we strive to do what God asks us to do, we fall short. So anytime we ignore a plea for help or anytime that we see something that really should be spoken to and we just walk by it, we have been nothing more than a goat. But Jesus has taught us what it is to be sheep. To be a part of the pasture, to be part of his family, and the fact that he is our shepherd and guides and leads and directs us. Now, there are some people who feel that being a sheep isn't really all that great, that sheep are stupid. But that's an imagery that we hear in the scripture over and over and over again, that Jesus being the good shepherd, and maybe that's saying something about humankind as well. We think we know what's right. We think we know what's best for us, and yet we never learn. We, you know, we repeat history over and over and over again, and we are continually at odds with each other. We never learn from our history. But it's always Jesus who gathers us in. Gathers us in from the left and from the right. He gathers us in from those who have very little to those who have a lot. And he makes sure that those who have a lot share what they have so that those that have little have more. And we hear that story over and over again in the gospel reading. And what king can you think of that is so generous to his people that he is gracious and he gives these gifts to us every day that we can come here Sunday knowing that we are assured of his blessing and of his love and of his forgiveness and that we can start afresh? What king would allow us to do that? Other than Jesus. What king offers himself here at the table that says, here, you are a part of me by taking this, my body, this, my blood? What king offers you the opportunity to come here and interact with his other sheep of the pasture and have opportunities to reach out and to minister to each other, not only here, but what lies out beyond? So that as we are left, we leave this area and we move out into the pasture, that we graze with others and that we learn about the others that are a part of our flock. And we extend to them the same considerations that Jesus, our King, gives to us. It seems like a simple thing, But in reality, you and I know how difficult it is to be truly the sheep that would be at his right hand. You see, even those in the gospel reading for this day didn't know what they were doing. When was it that we fed you? When was it that we gave you something to drink? When was it that you were sick or in prison and we visited you, they ask. And Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. They didn't know that. Just as those that didn't do those things didn't know that either. But we know. And so we hear what Jesus asks of us. And we just ask that he help us as our benevolent king to guide us and to keep us in the pasture, and to help us at moments that we are afraid, and to celebrate with us in those moments that we are joyous. We have a great king. Our king does not rule a territory, but rules and reigns in our hearts. May God's reign continue through his son Jesus with each and every one of you and to those in whom you encounter this day and the next and the following. Amen.